We're talking about advocacy and leadership. And again, Gandhi's quote about be the change you want to see in the world. And that's exactly what leadership and advocacy is about, is you be the change.
At Next this year, we got a chance to talk with a no stranger to the show, Ira Gorman, along with John Hake and Rupa Patel on the topic of advocacy and leadership in physical therapy. Successful methods for all levels, from PT students to seasoned physical therapists. Want to thank those guys for taking some time out of their schedules while at the Next Conference. Thanks to Owens Recovery Science for sponsoring the show, a single source for PTs looking for certification in personalized blood flow restriction rehabilitation training and the equipment you need to apply it. Check out OwensRecoveryScience.com for more information.
Broadcasting to physical therapists around the world. Heard in over 135 countries with more than 1 million downloads and counting.
This is
the PT Pintcast. The best conversations happen at happy hour. Welcome to ours.
May I introduce?
Please allow me to introduce you to.
Here's your host, physical therapist, Jimmy McKay.
Next episode of the PT Pintcast starts right now at the Next Conference in Orlando. The house that the mouse built is the cliche line I've been using the whole conference. Want to thank our next group of guests for taking some time out from a busy schedule to drop by and spend a couple minutes with us. Introduce yourselves. We'll go ladies first.
Oh, well, thank you. Rupal Patel, and I teach at Texas Women's University in Houston, and I'm also on the APTA nominating committee.
And I mean, I feel like you do lots of stuff.
I do lots of stuff.
We'll stop there just for time's sake.
Thank you.
And who we got next?
John Hake, Northern Arizona University, full-time faculty and president for the Arizona chapter.
All right. And?
Ira Gorman, assistant dean at Regis University in Denver, and I'm the president of HPA The Catalyst.
We got like some heavy hitters here on the show. I'm getting a little nervous. Want to thank you guys again for coming out. And sure. We reached out because you guys are doing some stuff, making some magic here at the conference. Who wants to lead off? What are you guys doing here? What's on the agenda for you?
Well, the three of us, we're on the agenda tomorrow at 11 o'clock, and we're talking about leadership and advocacy in physical therapy, and what are some successful things that we can do for that.
All right. So we gave them the title. What are some things? Give us some teas.
Well, I'm just proud to be here with Minnie and Mickey, and, you know, and I'm dopey. So
John's Minnie, by the way.
And we're here to talk about the importance of advocacy, especially for students and new professionals, and how to do it. You know, it's a skill that can be learned. It's a skill that needs to be desired and you know, sought after. It's not something you just step into.
Right.
And a lot of people, I think, are afraid to do it. You know, so we want to give some confidence, some efficacy to, you know, so that they can go out and be an advocate for our profession.
And highlighting patients. The benefits of what happens. I was lucky enough to go to my first federal advocacy forum, you know, not long ago in Washington, D.C. And I remember always seeing it from afar, saying, I'm glad someone's doing it. It's just not me. Until I said, you know what? You know, you got to walk the walk a little bit. And when you get there, you really kind of get into it. And you start to feel that importance firsthand. And it's a great experience.
I'd agree. You know, one of the things you can do it at the state level or you can do it at the federal level. And if we really want to transform society, improve the human experience, then you have to advocate.
Yeah, you've got to talk to the people who are representing all the people we would like to transform. So what are some of the takeaways? What's the audience going to walk out of with some actionable steps that they can do? You mentioned it doesn't have to be national first. It could be state, local. That's all advocacy. What else?
Well, I think APTA makes it really easy. We have an action app.
Yes.
That's for advocacy, and so it's something that you can download, and we're going to walk people through that tomorrow during our session so that they can see how easy it is. It can take as little as 2 minutes to be able to be an effective advocate. So
I feel like I've been talking about the PT Action app for a year. It came out a while ago, but can't mention it enough because I bet you if we stop people walking by our booth here at Fox Rehabilitation, I bet you half will be like, there's an app? So we need to keep mentioning it. So don't think just because it's been released and we raised a lot of noise about it that everybody knows. So I'm glad you're going to walk people through that and show them what they can do with it and how powerful it is. What else are we going to be talking about tomorrow? What else is the audience going to take away?
Well, that you need to be, you tell your story, you know. I mean, we're passionate about what we do and what we believe in, and legislators and staff just want to hear about that. And we have a story to tell, and we can tell it well, and that empowers people to act.
Yeah. Sometimes when we do interviews for podcasts or videos that we do, we realize that sometimes we assume that the audience just knows our whole story because Well, I know my story really well, so I guess I don't want to bore you with my details, but you need to talk about what being a physical therapist means to you and what that means, what you can deliver to someone else. And when you tell that story as a story, it resonates instead of just giving them bullet points or a brochure.
Yeah, sometimes we get bogged down in facts. I mean, we have staff at ABTA who can give a lot of data and a lot of facts, and it's important to know that, but really it's about the story. That's what we want to do.
It's what John said about the human experience, and so if we can even bring a patient story with us, and this last federal advocacy forum, I was able to do that because we were talking about telehealth and some of the patients that I've worked with and how that could be beneficial to them. And I think that resonated with the staffer I was talking to, rather than the, 90 some bills that had telehealth in it that, they were looking at, and it's like, oh, this is how it impacts one of your constituents that lives in the district, so that's always really powerful.
We also talk about assertive communication, and not to make a cliche of this and not to be arrogant about it, but we have to remember these legislators work for us.
Sure.
And they're there to listen, and sometimes they want to listen, and so we need to go in there confident and say, this is what we'd like them to do. You want to be very clear and concise with an ask. Yeah. It's not just I want to talk about something, I want you to do this for me, and then make a decision.
And here's why, and that's that really important, as Ira mentioned, that's that important story component. And one more thing, clear, concise, consistent. Do it again next year when they see you over and over again. I remember Ira. He told a great story last year. I'm going to consider what he asked to say this year. I mean, didn't we get a cap change by doing just that, being consistent?
It took a while, yeah. But we did it.
And you bring up an important point, and that's consistency. And so when they see us over and over again, they tend to think, oh, PT, they automatically think of you. And once you build that connection with that legislator, then it winds up being gold.
Yeah. I see Rupal on your many, many banners you got there on your name tag, at PAC. So I mentioned this before. That's one of the ways we get to interact with those legislators. You wouldn't notice if the PAC disappeared tomorrow. You wouldn't notice, right? Tomorrow, or a week, but a month later, you'd be saying, "Wait a second, we lost all that momentum." So it's one of those things that's invisible. And if it went away tomorrow, you'd be like, "Oh yeah, that's all fine. That's fine." It's that year or six years or 10 years. You can't get that momentum back. So you need to be consistent and continually tell that message.
And one of the things John's going to mention tomorrow during our session is that we have one of the most well-respected and well-funded PACs. Out of all the healthcare PACs, we're actually number 8. And so that's huge. And we want to be number 1, according to our PAC trustees.
Sure.
So PAC donations make a big difference.
Yeah.
That's what allowed us to do what we did on the Hill with Medicare cap all these years.
So talk about that. How we're perceived as a profession, how we carry ourselves, we're looked at in pretty high regard with the people that are helping us influence what we're able to do. It's important.
Yeah, and being number 8 is great, but if we had all of our members contribute $20, we would be number 1.
But
I think we are respected. People know who we are. They hear our message, but we need to keep that consistency and keep those efforts going.
We're respected because we're bipartisan. We fund both sides, so we try to stay out of the street level politics. We have a good message. We represent our patients. It's important for the message to be about the people that we serve, not just about ourselves.
Yeah.
and that carries through. So I think we have we're well respected that way, and
love
we
that.
Play both sides and do it well.
Love it.
And for new professionals as well as students, advocacy is a wonderful way to develop your leadership skills, because you are out there talking at all levels, with staffers, with patients, with congressional as well as state and local. And so it's a great way to kind of develop that self-leadership and then to be able to communicate and articulate your message.
Yeah.
So that's something that we're definitely going to be talking about.
You guys are all in academia and education, but I know people who own private practices, one man band kind of a practice, and they go out of their way to advocate because they realize if something changes and there's not, the donations from the PAC or some of our legislation to defend that, and it goes away, it's a while before it comes back, if ever. And you got to pay attention to that.
There's a number of ways to get involved. You talked about some people, are, as I said, are a little bit intimidated or unknown. But, the first thing is to join the association, support
Bingo.
The association. Then you can support the PAC. And then you can give your time. And you can give your time when you're ready. I call it stages of life. Sometimes you're ready to do this. Sometimes you're building a practice and you're focusing there. And you could do things at different levels. You can go local to your state house. You don't have to travel to Washington. But if you can, that's a great opportunity.
Yeah.
You can go to fundraisers and benefits and town halls. And those can be in the evening locally.
Yeah.
So you know, you give the time that you can and you participate what works for you.
Love it.
This is the PT Pinecast.
Be a leader in advancing patient outcomes with the APTA's Physical Therapy Outcomes Registry. You can leverage your EHR data to benchmark outcomes without added data entry. That's right, there's no additional work. You'll be able to optimize your practice with easy-to-use reports, market your practice to patients, payers, and referring physicians, and maximize payment. It's the only nationwide registry building integrations for PT practices, regardless of what EHR you have. Sign up for a demo now at ptoutcomes.com/go.
That's ptoutcomes.com/go.
The Physical Therapy Outcomes Registry, brought to you by the American Physical Therapy Association.
And we're back.
Let's get back to the show.
Three questions from our friends at Arias Medical Staffing. They find physical therapist jobs. You guys are from all across, around the country. So first question is, where would you go if you had a free hall pass for a 13-week assignment? Where in the 50 U.S. states would you go and be a physical therapist? Where would you want to go? Start with Ira.
I'd go to Colorado, just where I am. You know, I lived in New York for many years, and Colorado is a beautiful place, and especially after being in this beautiful, comfortable weather.
Yeah, in Orlando?
Yeah, Colorado's a nice change.
You wear it like a wetsuit.
Yes.
Yeah, what do you think, John? Where would you go?
Right now, I'm actually teaching in New Hampshire for the summer. I'm on a 9-month contract in Flagstaff, Arizona, and I'm spending time in New Hampshire and having a great time there. So I know I'd be happy to be back in Flagstaff, but I'm enjoying myself in New Hampshire.
Just heard this stat the other day. New Hampshire, number one in beer consumption per capita. So you got something, a lot of fun going on in New Hampshire. Rupal?
Well, I live in the hot, humid Houston, and so I always love to go somewhere cooler, and I love mountains, so I would choose Alaska my 13 weeks.
Second question.
Not in February, but in June, July, August.
Second question, we'll stay with Rupa. What's something that you read that really inspired you?
Anything?
Anything. PT, non-PT related, doesn't matter. Something that inspired you. Could be a book, could be a blog post, could be a quote.
Well, the person who always inspires me the most is Mahatma Gandhi. So everything that he's about is something that I'm about. And so I take my inspiration from him a lot.
Okay. What do you got? You lit up when I threw this question out. What do you got? What inspired you?
I picked up a book that was recommended to me, How to Read a Book. It was done in 1940. It's a fantastic
book. The book is called?
How to Read a Book, which is fantastic.
Okay.
You would think that it's like very basic. It is not. And so it takes you all the way through the different levels of being able to read a book, like scotopically reading on a topic and then maintaining and reading all the different books on that topic.
Love that. That's
cool. It's a fantastic book.
Never heard of it.
Highly recommend it.
Ira, something that inspired you.
One of my passions is global health. You know, so I have a degree in public health and social epidemiology. So I just read a book by Paul Farmer. And I've been to Haiti a couple of times and traveled a number of places. Paul Farmer is a physician who works in Haiti and at Harvard. And it was a series of his graduation speeches to medical schools and public health. And it was very inspiring.
Yeah, a lot of mic drop moments for those type of talks. All right, Ira, we'll stay with you. Third question. This is your chance to kind of give somebody a nod, someone a shout out. Who's someone in the field that the audience should know more about? Somebody who's doing great work, but maybe they're flying under the radar.
Wow, that's tricky because there's so many upcoming new professionals.
You can do more than one.
But I can talk about my colleague, Tom McPoyle, who was named as the 50th Mary McMillan Lecturer.
And
he's
going to
be speaking last night.
Just announced.
He'll be speaking next year in Chicago.
Chicago.
And Tom's been a tremendous mentor to me. I'm fortunate to be a colleague of his at Regis University, and I'm really proud that he is receiving that award.
Looking forward to that. All right, who's somebody the audience should know more about?
Well, I would have to say Sean Collins. Sean Collins was a Linda Crane winner for CSM, and just the way he thinks as an epidemiologist is just fantastic. I think it's not a normal type of approach with epidemiology. So if you want someone to kind of take you to a different place,
yeah. That's I love Sean the Collins. Non-normal approach, like, I don't know, like a radio DJ physical therapist. I mean, who knew? Who's somebody you're gonna give a nod to?
So lots of great folks, but I think I'm going to give a nod to, on this lovely podcast, to Jess Bergerland.
Okay.
She's a new professional, and she's one of the four kind of founding members of the Council for Prevention, Health Promotion, and Wellness. And they're having their meet and greet right now between 11 and 1. But Jess has been out of school, I don't know, less than 10 years for sure. And she's a phenom.
Getting stuff done.
Yeah, get stuff done, definitely. Right. So I would say definitely her.
What's a good site to be a bad podcast host if I didn't ask you guys? Where's a site the audience, if they want to learn more about the things you guys are passionate about, where should they go? So chance for kind of give a nod to one of your websites.
APTA.org, Federal Advocacy, You can find lots of great information on federal advocacy there. They even have a state advocacy tab, and then you can connect with your state governmental affairs chair people. And certainly the three of us are willing to connect you to anyone out there. So, you know, look us up, and if you need help with anything, we're here.
Love it. All right.
And a little bit of self-promotion.
Do it.
I am the president of HPA The Catalyst, which is the health policy and administration section. So we have a website. We encourage people to join our section and get information about this.
Love it. I was going to say, all the sections, if you want to get specific, you can even go deeper and go to the SIGs. If you're inspired by something in this profession, dig deep, because there's someone who's already started an organization. If not, you should start one. Last thing we do on the show, tradition, it's called the parting shot.
This is the parting shot.
Brought to you by the Brooks Institute of Higher Learning, an innovator in providing advanced post-professional education. Brooks IHL offers continuing education courses in numerous specialty areas, 6 PT residency programs, an OMPT fellowship, as well as challenging but rewarding student internships. The IHL specializes in the translation of information from evidence to patient management. Learn what the IHL can do for you and support your professional development. Go to brooksihl.org.
All right, what's your last mic drop moment? What's something you want to leave the audience with? Last thing as they go forward.
I don't know if it's mic drop, but we're talking about advocacy and leadership.
Yeah.
And again, Gandhi's quote about be the change you want to see in the world. And that's exactly what leadership and advocacy is about, is you be the change.
Ira, good luck following Gandhi.
Jefferson. So,
All right.
Democracy is not about the majority. It's the majority who get involved.
Love that. That's very... All right, so I'm sorry. You got to go last.
Sharon Dunn.
Okay.
Better together. So yeah. That's a simple one, right?
You just keep one up on each other.
She just nailed it in her presentation. Yeah. So right.
Love that, guys. Thanks for doing what you do. Please don't stop. And don't stop educating the next generation of physical therapists to do just that. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The PT Pinecast is a product of PT Pinecast LLC. It is hosted and produced by PT Pinecast CEO Jim McKay and CBO Sky Donovan from Marymount University. We talk PT, drink beer, and record it. This has been another pour from the PT Pinecast. The PT Pinecast is intended for educational purposes only. No clinical decision-making should be based solely on one source. While care is taken to ensure accuracy, factual errors can be present. More on the show at ptpinecast.com.
Hey guys, the Movement Maestro here, letting you know that Rock Tape is so much more than just a tape company. We are a movement company. Move stronger, longer with the world's best kinesiology tape, topical pain relief, mobility equipment, and protective gear. But that's not all. Learn from the best with our industry-leading continuing education courses. Want 20% off your first product purchase? Head on over to shop.rocktape.com and use the code PTPINECAST. Again, for the folks in the back, that's shop.rocktape.com and enter the code PTPINECAST. Rock Tape, the world's best kinesiology tape, the movement industry's new standard for education.
PT Pinecast supports Go Baby Go,
a national community-based research, design, and outreach program that provides modified ride-on cars to children birth to age 3 who experience limited mobility. Founded by Cole Galloway from the University of Delaware. For more information about how you can build your own cars or start your own chapter, visit udel.edu/gobabygo.